Hello and welcome to Owning It, the podcast that celebrates the inspiring choices made by women who refuse to simply follow the crowd and chose the road less traveled. I'm your host, Sandhya Tukaram, and in each episode, we'll have real conversations with these incredible women who choose to carve their own path because following just isn't an option. They may not be making headlines, but every one of them is a role model. So join me and let's explore the power of choice and the inspiration it brings right here on Owning It. My guest today is Deepthi Roy, a fiercely independent and versatile woman who has delved into the worlds of fashion, entrepreneurship, bakery and pottery, and even played an active role as a member of the Army Wives Welfare Association. Hop onto this roller coaster ride where Deepthi owns every decision she makes with the mantra of Ke Sara Sara. Deepthi, hi. Thank you for joining me on Owning It. When Neha recommended you as someone we should have on the podcast, she says Deepthi is someone who not on the one side knows what she wants, but more importantly, knows what she doesn't want. And I always feel really if one is clear about what one doesn't want, most things work out. So Deepthi, I want to start with that point. Going back to your young years, was young Deepthi someone who knew what she didn't want? Tell us a little bit about where you grew up, what you did, and then we'll move on from
there. Yes, Sandhya. So first and foremost, thank you so much for having me on the podcast. And, you know, I would have thought that something like this is only for women who would be doing something really great in life. But I really appreciate the fact that, you know, this is more about the journeys that women have and more about what they do in their daily lives, how they make their decisions. Why I say this is because when you talk about my childhood, you know, I was someone who grew up very independently. So let me just take you back a few years. Like, we were in Muscat initially. From there, we shifted to India, Pune. I was about 7 years old at that time. And for a short duration, my parents were not with me. I was staying more with my grandparents. So I think the independence factor came in right from then, you know, where I felt that it was really necessary to do my things on my own. And somehow that has influenced a whole lot of things in my life. Plus, at that time, there was something that I really understood about myself. I was very, very passionate about most things that came across me. So a lot of talents that were there in me came out, you know, during those formative years. Plus, when my parents were there, they were very encouraging with, you know, you should do everything, whatever you can do. So they never, you know, said that only studies is the important thing. Put me into a whole lot of extracurricular activities, and so be it singing, karate, skating, horse riding, swimming, dance, you know, you name it, and I did it. So one of the factors that was always influential in this was that my father or my mother, they always kept on saying that, you know, never give up. You know, whatever you do, it happens for the best. So never give up on that. Every experience that comes across for you should be something that you take with open arms. So that was one thing that I really, really, you know, always inculcated in my life. And another influence, a very big influence that has always stayed with me, has been my love for animals. So I feel that most of my decisions, even if I speak about motherhood, or, you know, how I deal with family life, how I was as a married woman, I think a whole lot of that came from the fact that I was very compassionate with animals. You know, when they cannot really speak to you and you have to understand what they are saying, so you develop a lot of empathy. That was a big factor for me. So yes, during my childhood, I can say that all of these things somehow were preparing me for what was to come, which was a whole roller coaster of things.
Lovely. I wish I'd known you and had a bit of your childhood. All of that, the exposure you had, and more than that, having the backing of family. I think so few people actually really have that. And that can be the wind beneath your wings. It doesn't mean it takes away from challenges and choices, but it at least it gives you a firm grounding. You had this amazing childhood. It was lovely. You got exposure to many things across the board. You had parents that supported you.
What was the young adult Deepthi like? Did you carry on in the same way that your childhood was? Or were there things that came up at that time that needed you to change?
So Sandhya, you must have heard about that thing, Jack of all trades and master of none. You know, in a way, I think my young adult age was more of that. That, you know, I wanted to do everything. I loved challenges. I loved to take on something new. Fortunately or unfortunately for me, whatever I took up, I did good at it. So in a way, that was a confusing time for me during my young adulthood. I initially wanted to go in for veterinary science, but there were a lot of other issues in terms of finances and the time that I had and certain ups and downs that we had in the family, and plus family influences, you know, relatives and this and that. And, you know, everything came up to think that, you know, human doctors are, you know, valued, and animal doctors, who does that, you know, that sort of a thing. So probably that was one of the reasons where I went for designing. And I think that sort of shaped a whole lot of my decisions in the next part of my life. I enjoyed learning fashion design. I was at NIFT New Delhi, where I did lifestyle product and accessory design. I loved learning all the things. I was doing good in it. But somewhere I kept on feeling thing that I wanted a little more settled life. From my childhood, that influence was there, that my parents were not there for some time. Even after that, you know, it was here and there, and, you know, a lot of ups and downs, like I spoke about. So I wanted a little more settled sort of a life. And that is when I met my husband, who had just gotten commissioned into the army, and he's an army officer. When I met him, I sort of, you know, felt the meaning of being grounded and having a sort of peace in life. With that, I felt the importance of having a family, bonding, spending more time with the family, understanding, you know, what it is to be a part of something bigger than yourself. So I think that was really what was the main focus for me at that time. And then it was, I can say, three things came together for me at that time. I became a wife. I became an army wife, and I became a mother almost at the same time. You know, within the span of 1 year after my marriage, all of this was what I stepped into. And again, my attitude of taking things with open arms and, you know, doing things happily, I took this as one of the biggest opportunity. People say that, you know, when you get into married life, or you know, when you change things completely, there might be some regret or remorse. But I took this as an opportunity, and I decided to give it my best shot. I also decided to be as involved and as genuinely involved as I could. Let me just give you a small background of what it means to be an army wife. An army wife is something, you know, it's like a job description that is hardly spoken about. When you start off as an army wife, it is a choice that, you know, you want to get involved in all the activities, or you don't want to, or you want to follow your own career path and everything. But I had decided that, you know, this is what I want in my life right now. There is something called as an Army Wives Welfare Association. That's called AWA. And in that, you have to basically take part in certain activities. You have to guide certain families that are staying in the station with you in the unit. So these families are for our unit. My husband was in the Bihar unit. So for us, there were families from Bihar, Jharkhand, Chhattisgarh, Odisha, Gujarat. So majorly from Bihar and Jharkhand. And as you can understand, these are women who are coming from a very humble background, very remote areas. So right from teaching them how to dress themselves up, how to wear a sari, how not to roam around in gowns, and be able to really take that ghungat off, especially when you're in the unit, to even teaching them activities like tie and dye, candle making, bate. Plus lectures on how to take care of your children, how to take care of yourself, how to use the ATM. You know, these are things that I had never thought I would be teaching someone. So it was a very different world for me. I had done my graduation in psychology, and that helped me again. Right from marriage counseling to career counseling for children was something that, you know, we could do. And as a couple, as me and my husband, he started off as a lieutenant, and immediately he went on to being a colonel, and he was commanding in the unit. So as a commanding officer, the lady of the unit is called the first lady. And that not only brings a lot of respect, but it also brings a lot of responsibilities. So the 1,000 men in the unit and over 300 families that were staying in the unit are also your responsibility. And that means day and night, you have to be there for them. So there have been cases where I've had to, you know, when the husbands are gone for exercises, I would have to rush somewhere in the night, 2 o'clock, taking them for, you know, somebody who's had a miscarriage or somebody who's having some pain during pregnancy or any health, other health issues. So these things, it became like an extended family for me. And that at the same time affected my motherhood also. So I think that, you know, my children grew up in this atmosphere and they also developed a kind of personality for themselves. Seeing, you know, that, you know, you don't have to just think about yourself, you have to think about others also. So one thing in my motherhood is that I have always wanted to lead by example. So be it whenever I got the opportunity, be it the 15 days after my delivery, I was onto the skating ground and skating with my elder one.
Wow, amazing.
So I wanted to put her for skating and she was like, you know, I don't want to go in for it right now. So I joined it with her and it became so comfortable for her. Because it was not about pushing things on her. I wanted my daughters to understand right from the start what they want. I always took them for a whole lot of different activities in whichever holidays or wherever vacations were there. I always took that opportunity to put them for different classes. So I tried sports, I tried dance, I tried art, I tried all these different things for them. So that I, you know, I tried to judge whether they are sporty, do they have a more creative bent. They have been able to really zero in on what they like and cut out all the things that they don't want to do. But they've also had that experience. So that was really important for me.
I didn't interrupt you because it evolved so naturally. And, you know, that's the conversation I want to have. Like I said, these conversations are never about right or wrong. It's really to hear the story the way you tell it. But I do want to ask you one thing at this point. I love that you said you embraced being an army wife and used everything you knew to make that experience an amazing one. Did you though, and I know you said you didn't have regrets, but in hindsight, not being able to be a vet, has that come back to you at some point, or were you able to work with animals differently?
So yes, Sandhya, I'm really happy that you asked me this, because there is a connection that I have with animals, Sandhya. You can say it's like a divine connection that has never gone away. You might not even believe it, but it's a fact that I might just step out of the house and somewhere or the other, some injured animal or somebody will, you know, just come to my doorstep. So right from owls to chameleons. In fact, just 2 days ago, we rescued and released a chameleon. So I would always have such animals coming to me all the time. And during a certain phase in my life, when I was in the peace area, my husband was in the field area, so I was staying separately from him. At that time, I took the opportunity to do a lot of fostering. And at one point of time, I had 18 dogs in my tiny little house. At that time, I was staying in a captain's accommodation, what we call. It's a small place just for these temporary accommodations. And my house was full of 18 dogs at that time. And out of that, only 3 were mine. The rest were all rescues. So that was something that I can say, even if I did not do my veterinary science, I have, to my heart's content, done all of this. I don't know how I would have been as a veterinary doctor. I know for sure that, you know, I was that kind of a person that anybody would have called me at any hour, I would have rushed. Because I was not doing it for the money. It is something that even till date, if I hear a yelp or a whine or something at even 3 o'clock in the morning, I will not care if it's dark or where am I staying or where, you know, the safety or anything. I will just go. I have to look for it. So I have been able to do all that despite the fact that I did not become a veterinary doctor. And I'm happy about that. Plus, my husband supported me through and through. In fact, one of the reasons why I selected him, you know, ultimately where I was like, okay, this is the guy for me, was because even when I was in NIFT, I had kept a small pup with me. And when he had come to meet me, because we had common friends, he and that pup ate in the same plate. And I was like, okay, this might work. So that is how it has been for us. So every station that we've gone to, we've had hens and ducks and guinea pigs and rabbits to every possible thing. So that is something that I have passed on in a way to my kids also, though they are not as involved with it as I would have been. But yes, as a family, I think that bonds us so much together.
I'm glad we spoke about this, Deepthi. We all have very definite ideas of how something should be. And we get married to that idea. And if things turn slightly different, even if it's better, we're so unhappy because it wasn't that original idea we had. Whereas I think what you experienced was, you may not have become a vet, but that didn't stop you from working with animals and being with animals the way you could and finding amazing joy in that. And not just being, wedded to the idea that, only being a vet would have made me happy. So I'm glad we touched on that, because a lot of us, I think most of us, we just believe there's only one way to do it. And if it doesn't turn out that way, then we'll lead the rest of our lives quite unhappily.
So Sandhya, in fact, I feel that, today, factor that, you give up on things so easily or just, choose to be unhappy, is one of the reasons why there are so many issues in many families also. I feel that you have to have a little bit of patience with your family members. Today, unfortunately, many couples just have that very easy thing that, okay, we are not getting along. Let's just, end this, your family is too dominating. I can't get along. So let's just separate. So it's very easy to give up on things nowadays. I feel that we all have to give ourselves, give others, give all the experience that have come to us. We have to give that a chance also. And find our happiness in that. Happiness does not mean making a compromise. I think it is about being able to adjust yourself to that situation, being able to look for the silver lining in that.
Lovely. Deepthi, like you said, just embracing the life of an army wife and bringing everything to that was a full-time responsibility. However, you did decide at some point that you also wanted a specific career. Tell me a little bit about that.
So to come to that specific career, I went through a whole lot of things. Like I said, I looked at everything as an opportunity. So right from the time where I got the chance to do baking, I did that as a business. I did manage a boutique for my friend, where I was doing the back-end management of her entire unit. I also did voiceovers. I did content writing. I tried trading. I did a whole lot of things. There is, nothing that I did not try. And through all of that, I came to the thing that I really, really wanted to get back to my design field. Also because I feel that it's one of the things that inspires me. One other factor that has really made a difference is that last time my husband transitioned from the army to the corporate. So he retired from the army, and we decided during COVID especially that we really wanted to be together as a family. And there were so many experiences that we had probably kept aside because of all our other commitments. And now we felt that is the time that we want to be with our children, see them growing up. So we wanted to invest our time and effort into that now. And which is why we transitioned. We also transitioned to understand whether there is something that, now I can start doing for myself. For me, it became something that my daughters kept saying, my husband kept saying, now do this for yourself. Now you have to, stand up and just think about yourself. Focus on yourself now. My kids kept saying this to me that, when we look at you, we see a whole lot of things, but we also want to be inspired by that one fact that, okay, you did all of this, but you did reach a destination also. That really made me wake up and say that, okay, I now need to take that step. And so I decided to go in for my design field. I tried looking at different arts. I tried learning a few arts right now. Now I have come more towards going back to what I had tried in between was pottery. So I am coming to that, and I am trying to upskill myself in it and trying to develop that as a brand. I have to start working on that now. I feel that all of this that I have done through the years has come and, you know, culminated into this choice that I have made now.
And you're in the middle of setting up your pottery business?
Yes, yes, Sandhya. So right now I am upskilling, and plus at the same time I am trying to set up my studio and understand how the business of it works.
What's the biggest challenge of upskilling at this point in your life?
First and foremost, Sandhya, I feel is the time that I have to give to it. I have to take an intensive course for which I'm going to be gone 6 to 8 hours a day, in fact, 7 days a week for 3 months. So that's going to take a whole lot of effort from both the children and from my husband to, you know, manage and coordinate everything. I have never been away from the house, house chores also. It has always been something that I take pride in, and I like to do it my way. So it is a challenge for me also to understand, okay, that I can now, you know, sort of let that go and concentrate on this now. That's going to be one of the biggest challenge for me. Another thing is that was always there in my mind. I have always been very egoistic about one thing, is spending my own money. So in my 11th grade standard itself, I had started doing a part-time job. I earned my money. I made sure that my petrol money, my, you know, restaurant money, everything, all these things came from my own money. Plus, all the animal care that I could at that time used to be paid by myself. That has somehow worked up till now, where I had this thing that I wanted to buy my own bike. I wanted to have my own Avenger. Whatever I had earned through the baking and the content writing and tutoring also I had done in between. So all of that is what I put into the bike, and that is what I got for myself. And the same thing right now, I am really happy with the fact that my husband has understood this thing, that how important that is to me, that I want to feel that this is what I did. This is something that I achieved. We have actually kept a diary where I'm writing down even the tiniest of minutest of things of what I'm buying for this, whatever course I'm going to do. And we are adding that all up, and it's like a loan from him. I don't know how important that is, but I really feel that that helps a lot with my self-esteem. So yes, money, time, and the effort has been the challenge right now. Other than that, like I said, I'm always open to learning a whole lot of new things. I am ready to put in the effort. I have always gone to any extent, even if it's like a physical activity or whatever it is. That never bogs me down. So I am okay with giving all of that time and energy to it. But yes, this is going to be a family effort. It's not just something that I'm going to do alone.
Deepthi, 5 years from now, apart from returning your husband's loan, what would you like to be doing at that point?
So Sandhya, I would really want to have a brand that is established. A name for myself is something that is really important to me. I really want to have something where I can say that this is my legacy. This is something that where I mattered. So let's say in the army life, whatever contributions are there, but that is not something that ever paid or ever gave a certificate. It is just the people who, you know, always said, or their reactions that showed what I had achieved. But now, since I'm saying that this is something just for myself, 5 years down the line, I definitely want to be able to be at a position where I can tell my kids also, see, this is where it comes to. This is what you can achieve. I am someone who kept my career aside for a certain time to give it to my family, you know, to give that time to my family and to the responsibilities that came along with that. But I am someone who is also telling my children now that career first, build something for yourself first. Not because, you know, you're going to miss out on something, or because, you know, that is what women should do. But because I feel that there should be a base. I keep telling them there should be a skill, there should be a base for you to go back to. So family, all these experiences will keep happening. But give yourself some time to build your own career, build your own name, have that foundation for yourself first. This is something that I'm telling, even if I had done the completely opposite thing. This is something from my experience that I'm trying to tell them. But I also want them to know that that does not mean that all the other years, all the time that I've invested, all the energy that I've invested in all these years were a waste in any manner. You know, I come here now with this thing that, okay, I have established myself. My life right now is very satisfactory. I'm very happy with the way things are. But I also wanted to have one destination, you know, where I want to say that, okay, this is where I reached. That is very important to me.
Lovely, Deepthi. And so I wish you a destination that's as wonderful as your journey has sounded. Thank you so much for sharing it on Owning It. And, you know, when you said, you've done nothing great, I think you've lived life beautifully. And I think that's a great and wonderful thing. Thank you for being on Owning It.
Thank you so much, Sandhya. Really nice talking to you. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on Owning It. With every conversation with women who are taking control of their narrative, I'm constantly inspired. Don't forget to tune into the next conversation with yet another woman choosing her own path and owning it.